Good morning. Okay, we're going to try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, that's a little better. Great to be with you this morning. Appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together, so that we can study from His Word. Appreciate Mr. Darrell mentioning our family's loss in this prayer. Uncle Virgil, technically my great uncle, 97 years old, faithful Christian. His wife is actually still living. Last year, they celebrated 76 years of marriage. And so, Ken Roberts, who is one of Uncle Virgil's sons, preaches at Lawrence Chapel, which is the congregation where I grew up. And when Dad passed away, of course, Dad asked me to do the funeral, and so I did. But I had asked Dad, when he had made that request, that to let me ask someone else to do the graveside service. Because I told him, if I can get through the main funeral, the thought of standing beside the casket, the open grave and all that, I didn't think that was a good idea. And so he said that would be fine, and I asked Ken to do that for me. And when I asked Ken, he said, you know, when Dad passes, I'm going to need you to return the favor. And so when Uncle Virgil passed, he called and asked if I would be willing to do the graveside service, and I told him I would. I also told him I thought I was getting the short end of the stick. My dad passed in September. There is no tree line on the north side of that cemetery where we're going today. So there is no break from the wind. I told Ken, I said, hey, about 5 minutes and we're done at the graveside. And he said, that'll be fine. And so, but if you will say a prayer for that family. You know, Uncle Virgil lived a good long life, but it's never easy, regardless, to say goodbye to a loved one. And so if you will say a prayer for them, I would appreciate that very much. This morning we want to spend some time, and if you have your Bibles, I hope you'll be turning to James chapter 2. We'll pick up in verse 14 here in just a moment. But we want to talk about a faith that works. You know, when you look at a lesson like this, you're looking at two key elements concerning Christianity. The concept of faith, which is a key element to the Christian life, and the concept of works, which is another key element. A very prevalent doctrine in the religious world today is the idea of faith only, or belief only. That in order for an individual to be saved, all they have to do is believe. And as we think about that doctrine, we think about what's being taught there, we want to consider that this morning in light of what James says in James chapter 2. And as we look at this morning, 4 points that we want to consider as we look at the text in the book of James. How important is faith for the Christian? Well, you and I understand it's vitally important, right? John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Jesus said that without belief, a belief in Him as the Son of God, it is impossible for us to live that Christian life. Hebrews 11:6 says that very clearly, that without faith, it is impossible to please Him, the Him in the text being God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Friends, without a belief in God, we cannot be pleasing to Him. We cannot serve Him. Before we look at what faith is, I want us to very quickly notice two things that faith is not. Yeah, I think sometimes when we're defining a word, it's just as important not just to define the word, but to notice things that maybe that word is not. Number one, faith is not a simple belief without evidence. Hebrews 11 verse 1, that great chapter on faith, begins with a definition of faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith has evidence behind it. You and I don't believe what we believe simply because we just chose, hey, I'm just going to jump out here and take this. You'll hear people make this statement, I take it on faith. Well, when they make that statement, many times what they mean is, I believe it without any evidence telling me that this is the truth. That's not what faith is. Faith is not a blind leap in the dark. Faith is supported by the evidence. I believe that God created this world because the evidence points that out. This morning in our 6th through 12th grade class upstairs, we've been studying through the book Defending God, and we talked about creation and evolution this morning and noticed how the evidence is in the column for creation, not in the column for evolution. I believe God created the world because the evidence bears that out. I believe in the accuracy of the Bible. Why? Because I've examined it. The archaeological evidence that has been uncovered all supports what the Bible says. I believe it's the Word of God. You can look at the foreknowledge of the Bible. You can look at the fact that the Bible is all one book. Although it was written by 40 different men over a span of 1,600 years. There are so many different things that show this book is God's Word. You see, the things that we believe, it's not things that are not based on evidence. We believe because of the overwhelming evidence. So faith is not simple belief without evidence. Number two, faith is not belief without the Word. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Faith is not something that God magically gives you. Okay, it's not some fairy dust that's sprinkled upon you and then boom, you have faith. It comes from this book. It comes from study. It comes from reading it, from applying it. You want stronger faith? Spend more time right here. Spend more time reading and studying, and friends, your faith will strengthen. Faith is not belief without evidence. It's not belief without God's Word. And that brings us to our text in James chapter 2. Four things that we want to notice together concerning a faith that works. Number one, we want to begin with a description of faith. A description of faith. There are two ways the word faith is used in the Bible. Two main ways. One way is it is used sometimes to represent the entirety of the gospel. We see that in Jude chapter 1 and verse 3. Where Jude writes, beloved, I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation. I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. What's he talking about there? He's talking about Christianity. He's talking about the gospel. And so there are times that the word faith is used to represent the entirety of Christianity. But there are other times that it is used to describe a personal faith, an individual's faith. And that's what we have taking place when we come to James chapter 2. Beginning in verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? James opens this text with a couple of questions, and interestingly enough, the exact same questions that we're looking to answer. Is faith alone profitable? Can faith alone save? And so James opens here asking those exact questions. And then James gives us a description here of someone who only has faith. In verses 15 and 16, he says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving him the things needed for the body, what good is that? James says, does that work? A person comes to you and they don't have adequate clothing. And on a day like today, that's an issue, right? It's cold out there. And you say to them, hey, go your way, be warmed. That doesn't help them, does it? Not if you don't do something in order to provide them adequate clothing, provide them what they need in order to be warm. Just telling them to be warm doesn't do a thing. A person comes to you hungry, they don't have adequate food. And you say to them, go your way, be filled. Well, that doesn't help them. As they walk away, their belly's just as empty as it was when they came to you, right? If you don't do anything to fill that need, just uttering the words doesn't make it so. James says, that's not going to help that individual. There was a young boy that was on an errand for his mother. He just bought a dozen eggs that she had sent him for, and walking out of the store, he tripped and he dropped the sack. All of the eggs broke. The sidewalk was a mess. The boy tried not to cry, but the tears began to stream from his eyes as he realized that he didn't have the money to buy another thing of eggs, and this was the task that his mother had sent him for. A few people gathered to see if he was okay and to tell him that they were sorry for what had happened. And in the midst of the words of pity that were being uttered, one man handed the boy a quarter. And he turned to the group that had gathered and he says, "I care 25 cents worth. How much do the rest of you care?" I believe in Jesus, but then do nothing about it. Friends, if I truly believe, then am I not going to search out His Word to see what I need to do? Am I not going to investigate to find out what I must do? James in verse 17 then says, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." James makes a very strong statement here. That faith alone, faith by itself, faith without anything else, James says that is a dead faith. The word dead here carries with it the meaning of non-existent. In other words, that faith that is being described in verses 15 through 17, he says that's a faith that actually doesn't exist. But he goes from that and he shifts from this description of this faith that does not exist to a detection of faith. He says, "I've shown you a faith that doesn't actually exist. Let me show you a faith now that does. And let me show you how you know that it does." Verse 18, watch him. "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works.' Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Can a person show faith without works? No, I can't know what you believe just by simply looking at you. I can't stare here at Mr. Steve and read what he's thinking. Why is this guy staring at me? I can't stare at Mr. Steve and read his thoughts, right? I can't know what he believes. But you know how I know what Mr. Steve believes? I watch his actions. I see what he does. I see how he lives. I see how he conducts himself. And that tells me what he believes. And that's what James is talking about here. He says a person has faith, but they don't have works. He says, I can't know that. But he says, I'll show you my faith by my works. James says works, how that person lives, what they say, what they do, those are the things that tell us what that person believes. You see, we know whether or not someone is a faithful Christian by their actions, by the way that they're living their life. James says you want to detect faith, you want to know whether or not a person has faith, then look at the life that they live. And friends, that's how you'll know. But he goes from that to a third point, and that is a depiction of faith. Beginning in verse 19, he begins to give several examples of this idea that he's showing that faith and works go together. That in order for faith to be biblical faith, it has works attached to it. That it's not simply faith by itself. Notice beginning in verse 19. He said, "You believe that that God is one? You do well." He says, "Even the demons believe and they shudder." The demons, the devils, Satan's minions. Notice, not only do they believe in God, they go so far as it makes them tremble. It makes them shudder to think who God is. But do they act upon that belief? Do they obey God? Then do they have true faith? No, they don't. They have faith only. In verse 20, do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? You go back to Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter that we talked about earlier in the introduction. That great chapter on faith. And as you go through Hebrews chapter 11, as we've talked about before, you see a similar construction over and over in that chapter. By faith, someone did something. By faith, someone worked. By faith, Abel offered, verse 6. By faith, Noah prepared an ark, verse 7. By faith, Abraham obeyed. He went, he dwelt, verses 8 and 9 and verse 17. By faith, Isaac blessed, verse 20. By faith, Moses, he refused, he chose, he forsook, he kept, he passed, verses 23 through 29. Beginning in verse 32, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, watch the action verbs, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. The Hebrew writer says they did all that. How? By faith. These people did these things. Their faith was a faith that works. Now James goes on to give us a couple of examples of people who coupled this faith with action. And he goes, first of all, remember, James was a Jewish man before he became a Christian. And he's writing to what we assume is a predominantly Jewish audience. And so it's not surprising, the first example that he's going to use is the example of Abraham. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was acted along with his works. And faith was completed. It was made perfect by his works. Was it just Abraham's faith? Not according to James. James says, in fact, Abraham was justified by his works. His faith was active along with the works. And it was the works that completed, that perfected his faith. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 12, tells the story of Abraham being willing to offer Isaac. You recall that the account goes to the point that Abraham has Isaac bound, he's on the altar, and he has knife in hand, and he's raising it up to kill his son because God had said to offer Isaac to me. Now, of course, you know and I know that God was not going to allow Abraham to do that. The angel stayed his hand. But if you had to describe to someone Abraham's belief in God, you wouldn't say that Abraham simply believed, would you? Oh, it was a belief that acted, right? James in verse 24 then says, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Friends, it's the only time in all of Scripture that you find the phrase faith alone, or some translations have faith only. It's the only time you'll find it, and notice the word before it. It's preceded by the word not, a word that negates that phrase. James says it's not by faith alone, it's not by faith only that Abraham was justified. And he's making the case, he's pointing out that the same is true for us. You and I can't be justified. We can't be saved by faith alone. It has to be a faith that acts. In verse 25, he gives another example. And he says, in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? You recall Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 11? The spies come in, they find themselves at Rahab, and Rahab hides them because the city guard learns that two men had come over the wall, and so they're searching for them, and Rahab hides them to keep them from being found. And then she makes them swear to spare her and her family when they come to take the city. And you remember what they told her to do? You hang a scarlet thread from your window. And everyone who is in that house will be spared. Now, there's a lot of lessons we could talk about just from that statement. But that's what she was told to do. You do this and your house will be spared. Joshua chapter 6, they come into Jericho. Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, 23 through 25, we see she hung the scarlet thread. Her house and those inside it were spared. What if Rahab would have said, you know what, I believe the spies that they'll spare me, and then she did not put that scarlet thread in the window? What would have happened to her house? What would have happened to the people inside? It would have been destroyed, right? You see, belief alone wasn't enough. Rahab had to act upon that belief. In both examples that James gives us, it's faith and works. It's not faith by itself. It's not works by itself. It takes both of them together. That brings us to the final verse of the chapter. And our final point, a determination of faith. In verse 26, James writes, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." James says true faith, it's shown by works. That's how you determine if it's there, because faith apart from works is dead. It's lifeless. It's not a faith that can be pleasing to God. Now we go all the way back to verse 14. Remember, James opened with a question. If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If we look at all that James has said, and we go back to that question, can faith only save? Friends, the only answer that James can allow us to conclude is no. It cannot. It takes both faith and works if I want to be saved. Do you believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God? Then are you willing to act on that belief? Are you willing to turn from a sinful life? Are you willing to confess that belief before men? Are you willing to be immersed in the water for the forgiveness of your sins? Friends, that doesn't mean that we earn our salvation, that we merit our salvation, or any of those statements that are always said. It means God said it, we believe it, and so we did it. Maybe you are a Christian, but you haven't been acting on that faith as you should. Friend, why not come back home today? The faith that works, it is a faith that works. Is your faith a working faith? Friend, if not, we hope that you'll change that. If you need to come, come right now as together we stand and sing.